The G20 gets to work.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The group of leaders from the world's 20 biggest economies are busy in London trying to come up with new rules to stem the global financial crisis. The latest G20 draft communique calls for an additional $500 billion for the International Monetary Fund. The extra funding would go to help support emerging economies. There's still a little debate over how to regulate hedge funds and tax havens. France and Germany are coming down hard on those things. China is also at the G20 table. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us now from Shanghai. Scott, what kind of objectives does China have for this summit?
Well, China's trying to be more assertive in the global economy in general. Many think that Chinese officials think the time is ripe to make itself heard more, and this is new. In the last few days, China's prime minister says he's worried about Chinese investments in the U.S. dollar, and then the top central banker comes out and raises questions about the dollar's long-term future as the main currency in the world for global trade. So at one level, China's just trying to speak a little louder.
When Chinese officials came out and questioned whether the dollar should no longer be the dominant currency, this certainly made some waves last week. Why take on the dollar? Is China a rival at the G20?
Well, I don't hear a lot of China being a rival to the U.S. as an economic rival. I don't hear much of that in China. I think the message is more, look, China's saying, we've lent you, the Americans, $1 trillion that you've put into your economy, and you better take care of it, or else we'll take our money and shack up with someone else. At least our currency will. What China is worried about is that the world's next financial bubble is U.S. treasuries, that Washington is printing so much money that eventually the value of U.S. dollars will plummet.
Well, Chinese president Hu did meet with President Obama yesterday. Did this whole dollar warning thing come up?
White House officials say it did not come up directly at the meeting. But President Obama did come out of that meeting and did pledge to chop the U.S. budget deficit in half over time. So it sure sounds like Washington knows who its banker is in China. But the other point is, China knows who its customer is. If I lend you, Renita, $1 trillion, I'm kind of stuck with you, too. So it's more of an entangling alliance rather than a rivalry.
Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Scott Tong, thanks so much.
Okay, Renita, you're welcome.
In the midst of all this, the European Central Bank is expected this morning to cut rates one more time. European shares are up across the board right now. Major Asian markets ended their trading day higher. The Dow added 153 points yesterday, or 2%, to close at 7,761. Oil is above $50 a barrel this morning. The World Copper Conference wraps up today in Chile. It's the largest gathering of its kind in the world. Copper prices are up 30% since the new year. That's the biggest quarterly gain since 2006. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
The price of copper, like that of crude oil, has been on a roller coaster of late. A record high in July, then a sharp fall, now a modest rebound. Analysts say copper prices have rallied largely because China, the world's biggest buyer, imported a record amount in February. China needs copper for enormous infrastructure projects it's initiated to help it weather the global slowdown. George Pruitt is research director at the Futures Truth Company.
Usually the commodities are a good weather vane to tell you what's going to happen in the economy.
Pruitt says copper is a raw ingredient for any economic recovery because it's critical to so many industries.
So I think we're starting to see a glimmer of hope that this recession has finally bottomed out. We've had a nice little pop in the prices. Let's just hope it continues.
Other analysts say until the demand for copper rises in the U.S. and Europe, the light at the end of the tunnel remains beyond the bend. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers.
Imagine getting laid off, applying for unemployment benefits, and finding your ex-employer is challenging you. more companies are contesting benefits. To explain, Marketplace's Jeff Tyler takes us to court.
At the appeals court in downtown Los Angeles, Monique Diaz is fighting for her unemployment benefits. Her last employer, a collections agency, claims she doesn't deserve assistance. The company fired her for missing her collections quota.
I did everything I could, but people just right now do not have the money.
Maybe she wasn't the best collections agent, but you can't be denied unemployment benefits based on job performance. People are generally ruled ineligible only for misconduct or if they quit. Still, workers' advocates have noticed a troubling trend.
Workers are increasingly having their claims challenged by their employer.
Andrew Stettner is deputy director of the National Employment Law Project.
Since your employer pays taxes on an unemployment claim and that their tax bill will go up as more of their former employees claim benefits, they have a real incentive to challenge claims.
Many companies hire specialists to handle unemployment matters. The biggest is Tox, a subsidiary of the credit reporting company Equifax. Stettner says Tox routinely contests benefits on grounds of misconduct, even if it's still gathering evidence to back up an allegation.
They just write, employee broke a rule, and they fax it in. And that's enough in most states to stop the benefits. And then a lot of people don't know what happened to them, and they don't get their benefits.
Tox declined requests for an interview. Instead, the company referred me to Doug Holmes, who heads an industry trade group focused on employment issues. Holmes says companies sometimes resort to a preemptive unemployment challenge in order to buy time.
They may have 1 or 2 days to check with the employer or check their records to try to identify the information that is needed.
When a claim is contested, the checks stop coming until the dispute is resolved. Monique Diaz hasn't received benefits for 2 months.
I'm glad I have family and friends that, you know, will help me out with the bills.
In some states, the wait for an appeal can take up to a year. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
You can share your experience at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.